The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
In just 100 days, we'll be playing a real NFL game. That's right, as the Rams, the reigning Super Bowl champs, host the Buffalo Bills Thursday night, September 8th, 8:20 p.m. Eastern time. To say we're excited would be the understatement of the century, as we are fired up and we say hello and welcome in NFL Live. We will be keeping it 100 all day today for the next hour as we bring you the latest around the NFL. I am Field Yates. You see the crew right up here. Marcus Spears, Lewis Riddick, and Diana Rossini. Left to right, and we're going to start in Los Angeles, where, again, 100 nights from right now, we'll be playing a real regular season game. So the champs, they're getting ready for their regular season, but we don't know if they'll have number 99 on the field. That, of course, is all-world defensive tackle Aaron Donald, who contemplated retirement after the Super Bowl, and he kind of backed off that. Appearing on I'm Athlete podcast, he discussed his recent mindset.
It ain't about the money. It's a business at the end of the day. That's right. That's what you got to see, so... It's about win. For me, it's about winning. I don't want to play football if I can't win anyway. So I feel like if it were lying and I got a real opportunity to win another Super Bowl, then it makes sense to play. But again, it's still a business. We got to handle the business side of things. And if that wasn't to get handled, then, you know, it is what it is type situation. Me saying I would be done in 8 years, but then experiencing something like that, it's like I want to do everything I can to experience that again. Now I see why Tom Brady can play this game so long, because this guy won 7 of these. I'm like, right. 7. It's just different, man. So it's definitely motivation.
Seems kind of silly for me to have to ask Marcus Spears to keep it 100, but please do so with me right now, Swagoo. I say this, the Rams are or are not Super Bowl contenders if Aaron Donald isn't on the team.
I'm going to keep it 100, babyface. Not. Okay, ooh. And listen, let me contextualize what I'm saying, all right? Obviously, the Rams are still going to be a really good team in the NFC, but the Rams go from being the favorite, in my opinion, to not being the favorite at all in this division without Aaron Donald. And it's because of what he changes about this football team. The last two games we watched Aaron Donald play in the playoffs on his way to winning the Super Bowl, it was him that got the stops. It was him that caused the interception from Jimmy Garoppolo. It was him that sacked Joe Burrow, which eventually didn't end up in Ja'Marr Chase scoring a touchdown. Aaron Donald changes the dynamic of what the Los Angeles Rams are as a football team, identity-wise. You want to talk about his impact as a defensive guy? What about the plays that he makes that gives Matt Stafford and that offense more possessions? What about how good he makes guys that are around him? We were ready to kick Leonard Floyd out of the league until he went to the Los Angeles Rams, and now he's a multi-million dollar guy and respected as a really good pass rusher. That has a lot to do with Aaron Donald. I put him in that LeBron James category. When you go play with him, you play better and you get paid. That is the impact. And if you don't have that impact, you can't be in the conversation about being the GOAT, and he's squarely in the center of it.
Well, Marcus, it seems like this is actually going to work out in terms of this contract. This isn't one of these situations, from the sense I get, that yes. It's ugly.
Good news, Dave.
There's a feeling in L.A. this will get done, right? So we know Aaron is looking to get paid. And look, what else does he have left? When you listen to him talk about what he's going to do next, it's such a leverage play when you hear his words, because he's basically telling the Rams, look, I've done it all. He's a surefire Hall of Famer, right? He won a Super Bowl. He's been Defensive Player of the Year 3 times. He's been a Pro Bowler every single season he's played in the league. What else does Aaron Donald have to do? Not much when it comes to that resume. But look, he admitted he wants another little bite at that apple of being a champ. But at the end of the day right now, the Rams have got to make a decision. Do they want to pay the best player in football the money that he wants and deserves?
Yes.
You know what's so unique about this guy is, look, I think in all the years that Aaron Donald has played, in all the years I've been at ESPN. I don't think I've ever heard a single person, other than when maybe a year ago or 2 years ago against the Green Bay Packers, when he couldn't play to his fullest because of injury, I don't think I've ever heard anyone say Aaron had a bad game. Aaron Donald, we're not quite sure. We're not quite sure how, you know, how he's going to affect this game. We're not quite sure if he had the impact on this game that he wanted to. There isn't a single player that we've talked about, at least since I've been on air since 2013, that has universally garnered the kind of praise that Aaron has gotten. And that, and we're talking about a defensive tackle now. We're not even talking about a pass rushing defensive end. We're not talking about a 3-4 outside linebacker on the defensive side. We're not talking about a corner. We're talking about a D tackle who came into the league as someone who wasn't the consensus overall number one pick. He was a guy who fell down the draft boards because people didn't think he had the ideal measurable. But still, he's the one guy who, when the game is on the line from a defensive perspective across the NFL, can win it for you. And he won the Super Bowl for them, if you want to boil down the ultimate team game to one play and one guy. Because if Joe Burrow doesn't get this, if Joe Burrow gets time, Cincinnati wins this Super Bowl. Ja'Marr Chase is dancing in the end zone, and the city of Cincinnati is all of a sudden now considered to be a championship city in terms of the NFL. This is a guy who right now we talk about along the same lines we talk about guys like LT. And look, LT is almost like a mythical figure in the NFL right now. He's like a myth. People don't even believe that LT could have been as good as he was, and he was that good. I saw him play in person. Aaron Donald is going to be talked about the same way. I'm just wondering what that means from a contract perspective. What does that look like?
Yeah.
That's going to be fun to watch.
Lou, I'm glad you brought up the contract part. And look, as a former defensive lineman in the NFL, you look at Aaron Donald and you say, I wish I was that. Okay? That's how good he is. Mm. And we were pretty damn good to be playing at a high level and starting for the number of years. But you look at him and that's a different tier. And to your other point, Lou, what you said about the contract, Aaron Donald is the only guy, think about this for a second, as much film as we watch, as much as we break this game down, throughout the course of that playoff run last year, I had Aaron Donald as the most important player in the game against Tampa Bay, and Tom Brady was their quarterback, and Matt Stafford was his quarterback. I had Aaron Donald as the most important player in the game in the Super Bowl with Joe Burrow and Matt Stafford playing quarterback. It's easy and cliche for us to say, yeah, it's the quarterback. He's the most important guy. Aaron Donald at defensive tackle has enough impact for me to believe that he is the most important player and the guy that is going to impact the game the most. And guess what, Lou and Diana? He made us a lie one time.
I'm guessing that maybe where they can find some middle ground here is go to the TJ Watt deal, the largest for any non-quarterback in the NFL. Tack on, I don't know, maybe $5 million per year, and everybody can be happy, and Aaron Donald can be back on the field. And speaking of back on the field, another interior defensive lineman, Akiem Hicks, former Bears standout, reached an agreement today with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. That worth up to $10 million over 1 year. That according to our own Adam Schefter, and he, of course, joins Vita Vea and second-round pick Logan Hall along that Bucs defensive line. Likely means that Ndamukong Suh could be on the way out. But, Lewis, kind of a nice segue here for us to ask this question. Are the Bucs the biggest challenger to the Rams right now in the NFC?
You know, yeah, I will say that they are, simply because of the fact that we just don't know what Jameis is going to look like in New Orleans yet, but I think New Orleans is going to be one of those teams that's going to be right there in the end. But let me say this, though, about the Bucs and what they've done by adding a guy like Akiem Hicks. I've seen Akiem Hicks play live a couple different times. Seen him up close in person on the field. This guy is unblockable when he's healthy and he's dialed in and tuned up. Him, Logan Hall, Vita Vea, look, that is going to be pure nightmare for defense, for offensive linemen if they can stay on the field. Akiem Hicks, pound for pound, and he carries a lot of pounds now, is as strong and as powerful and as nasty. Good luck. You thought you had a tough time running the ball against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in the past. This guy is the truth now. I'm telling you, 1 year at up to $10 million, Jason Light, great job. Because if you can keep him healthy, I'm just telling you, man, you ain't running it on them anymore in 2022 as you did in the past 2 years.
Yeah, Lou, I'm with you. And another thing, a little football tie. Devin White and Levante David got to be the happiest football players in the history of the National Football League, playing behind Vita Vea and Akeem Hicks. And not to mention, Lou, you talk about his physical strength, his ability to push the pocket. Everybody that's playing Tampa, if Akeem Hicks and Vita Vea is healthy, your quarterback ain't stepping up in the center of the pocket. I'm just telling you right now. And as we look at this league and the evolution of it, when you start talking about how heavy pass league it is, now these defensive tackles, that's coming off the conversation with Aaron Donald, are becoming more and more important. And you put those type of dudes together at the center of the line of scrimmage, Lou, you hit the nail on the head, brother. It is going to be hell trying to get through them big fellas, even in the run game, but more so when you're a quarterback that relies on your ability to step up in the pocket and make plays. It will not be there.
Yep. I think this is a fantastic signing from the Bucs perspective on just the contract, right? We won't get into the nitty-gritty of it. But once again, they're able to pull off a really good contract to build up their defense. But the one little thing I want to add here, and I remember covering him when he was with Chicago, when he's dialed in, and that's the key, dialed in, he's a different kind of player. And I think when you're in a locker room with Tom Brady leading the charge, you don't have a choice but to be dialed in. So this could be perhaps some of the best Akeem Hicks we will see over the last few years.
Yeah.
You didn't see it in all those
and
highlights.
A chance to win.
No doubt, Swaggu. Another chance to get a Super Bowl for our guy, Akeem Hicks. And he often goes no gloves, which you got to be a little bit psycho as a defensive lineman to wear no gloves during an NFL game. Hey, we're just getting started here on NFL Live. Have you heard? We're 100 days from the NFL season. And we get a report coming up next from Patriots camp on the latest with Mac Jones. The change in offensive coordinator, what's in store for the second-year quarterback? Plus, the Cowboys lost plenty of talent this offseason, especially on the offensive line. While Marcus is concerned, Dak, not so much.
I know what this team has and the men that they have and the coaches and the leadership. And, we definitely didn't take a step back. We're going to continue to get better, and that's what this offseason is about.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
NFL Live is brought to you by Coors Light, made to chill. All right, we're 100 days until the NFL season kicks off, so we're going to keep it 100 here on NFL Live, which, to be honest, we do every single day. Hey, so the Patriots back on the field for their OTA today as the team looks to build off of a 10-win season and a playoff appearance last year. Two new Patriots talked about their impressions of Mac Jones, starting with cornerback Malcolm Butler.
I like Mac. You know, I was at home watching him. He got great energy on and off the field, and I like him.
What do you like about him?
His confidence, his swagger. I love that about him.
Yeah, he's a leader. You know, he's a young guy, but he's vocal as a leader, and that's what this team needs. And you know, I've been out here a few weeks, but I still see it though.
With more on the Patriots, let's go out to Mike Reese, who has lockdown coverage in New England.
Field, the most interesting thing I saw here at Patriots practice today happened right under these goalposts with Mac Jones. Patriots receivers were running 7-step routes, and at the top of the route, they wanted to roll it to the inside instead of having a sharp 90-degree angle. And I watched Mac step out from under center, split out to the outside, and actually run the route for his receivers, reflective of his growing comfort level in telling his pass catchers the way he wants things done. And one more note as it relates to Mac Jones, Bill Belichick spending most of his time in this practice with the offense. At one point, I observed him standing right behind Mac Jones, barking out instructions on exactly how he wanted the drill to go. Field, back to you.
Mike, so good as always. Hey, Mac Jones last year had a QBR over 50 last season. He was by far the best amongst all rookie quarterbacks. That included the likes of Trevor Lawrence and Zach Wilson. They both struggled last year. And then, of course, Justin Fields, different situation, and Trey Lance didn't really play. Expectations are much higher for this group. Of course, Lance expected to take over as the 49ers starter. He started just two games last year. But let's get back to Mac, and let's keep it 100 again. Marcus, with all the change in New England, I'm going to ask you to keep it 100 again here. Will Mac Jones again be the best quarterback from the class of 2021?
Sure. He's going to be awesome. Going to be great. Phenomenal. You out of your damn mind. I'm concerned as hell, babyface, with who's going to be calling plays. Listen, I understand it's Bill Belichick and the New England Patriots. By the way, I got Trevor Lawrence making the biggest jump and being the guy that reminds us of why he was so lauded coming out of Clemson. But going back to Mac, I am not comfortable with this situation. And I know a lot of people are going to pass it off as it's Bill Belichick, it's the Patriot way. Patriot way is over with. Tom Brady was as much a part of the Patriot way as anybody and the way they did things. And a lot of those guys that established that when they were there and winning championships with a lot of veterans and guys that could have played the position without coaching to a certain extent. Mac Jones is a second-year quarterback. And the names we've heard flung around that potentially will be calling plays is Matt Patricia and Joe Judge. Joe Judge offense was 31st in the NFL last year when he was the head coach with the New York Giants. If he was a damn guru, then we should have saw Daniel Jones get better and we should have saw the New York Giants get better. And then Matt Patricia, I don't even want to get started on Detroit for the sake of time. Lou, take the mic. I ain't comfortable with this at all.
Well, you know what? I don't have much to add to the Patriots situation because you know what? I got my questions too. My questions started right after Josh got hired out there in Las Vegas. I was like, well, the most important hire that they have coming up is whoever's going to be the quarterback guru, the quarterback tutor, the guy who's going to take Mac in the year two. And right now we don't know who that's going to be. So I don't know what kind of jump Mac's going to take. But I do know in my heart and in my mind what I believe Trevor Lawrence is going to do. And I do believe that this guy is going to flip that touchdown interception ratio back to the positive. He'll get up over 60% in his completion percentage. His yards per attempt will get way over 6. He'll get that running game going because Travis Etienne will come back healthy. James Robinson, hopefully they'll both come back healthy. They've invested in this offensive line. We all screamed about Christian Kirk. Yeah, he shouldn't have got the money he got. Well, he's going to get a lot of balls fed to him, a lot of passes fed to him. And I'll tell you this, Doug Peterson is a great quarterback tutor. This is a guy who played the game at a high level, albeit he was a backup, but he's still a guy who played the game at a high level when he played. He's smart when it comes to tutoring young quarterbacks. Trevor Lawrence is going to eon different this year as opposed to last year, and I can't wait to see it.
Yeah.
Yeah, Lou, I'm with you with the Jags, their offense. I think we're going to see a completely different looking team and Trevor taking a really big step forward, especially with Doug Peterson there. But going back to New England, let's just start with the panic. Well, let's call it panic because that's kind of what the three of us sound like right now about what's happening in New England. And, you know, we spent so much time talking about Brian Daboll leaving the Buffalo Bills. How is that going to affect Josh Allen? And it seemed that Buffalo had a plan in place here to fill that void and figure that out. New England knew Josh was going to go. You know he's got a good relationship with Bill Belichick. You know they've had these kind of conversations before. And I'm just not sure. And the thing is, we give a pass because it's Bill. He's the greatest of all time when it comes to coaching. He knows what he's doing. He doesn't need me telling him who he should be assigning calling plays. He's got his eyes and hands, as Mike Reese pointed out, all over everything in terms of this offense. But the fact that they don't have a coach in place that has done this at a successful level is very concerning. And then just to throw in on Mac, guys, the fact that the swagger and the production and all these things that everyone talks about him in just his rookie year, I think we're going to see leaps and bounds, a different Mac, an even better one, a competitive edge that will even outdo what we saw last year, even those fights that we saw on the sidelines that he was having with Josh McDaniels. He looked like a young Tom Brady. I think we're just going to see another step forward. So while, Lou, I'm with you on maybe Trevor taking a step, I'm still going to go with Mac being the best quarterback in his second year.
Dan, I got you, and I understand where you're coming from when you say that. I vehemently disagree with you, but I understand because we're giving credence to the fact that it's the New England Patriots, okay? Here's the thing, too, that people don't mention when we start talking about this situation with Mac Jones. This division ain't got easier, okay? We got to get out of this mindset that the New England Patriots are going to run through the division, obviously with Buffalo, but I'm talking about – has anybody been paying attention to what Miami did from an offensive personnel standpoint? If Tua can come along, has anybody paid attention? The New England Patriots may have the fourth best skill position group in their own division with a second year quarterback, with guys that we don't know if they can call plays and flow throughout the duration of a game. I'm concerned, Diana. I'll give you the mic back.
I hear that, but I'm not concerned about bulkier, thicker Zach Wilson in New York. I'm not concerned about Tua, who I think struggles a little bit with some downfield passing. Obviously Josh Allen and the Bills are, they're going to win that division, or at least they should. Mm. They are the best team. But I'm going to continue to give New England the credit that they deserve, because they always know what they're doing. They're always going to be prepared. You know that's going to be it. It's just going to be whether or not they're going to be able to bring it all together here.
Yeah, they've got some major things to figure out, go ahead, Lewis.
No, I'm just going to say this. Look, if Mac can teach the wide receiver, Mac may call his own plays. He may just pull a Kyrie and just say, hey, look, I don't need a coach. I'll teach the wide receivers how to run routes, and I'll do my own thing.
Well, he may
pull a Kyrie since it's basketball season. I just figured I'd just throw that in there.
Can't wait for the NBA Finals Thursday night, of course, on ESPN, ABC, and YouTube. YouTube TV. Reminder, so Mac Jones, I will say this, is that the Patriots have to figure out their offensive play caller at some point this offseason. I do think there should be immense confidence in the player, though. I mean, the guy objectively was far away the best rookie quarterback last year and should only be much better. The kid's an absolute stud, that much is for sure.
Yep.
Let's move things along. And now an update on a developing story involving Broncos wide receiver Jerry Jeudy. Today, a judge dismissed all charges against him after Jeudy was arrested earlier this month on a misdemeanor domestic violence charge. Jeudy's attorney told ESPN, quote, "After reviewing the evidence, I always believed that no crime had been committed and all charges would be dismissed." Coming up, we're just 1 month removed from the 2022 NFL Draft, and Mel Kiper has already released his big board for the top of the 2023 season.
Who in the hell is Mel Kiper, in a way? I mean, here's a guy that criticizes everybody, whoever they take. He's got the answers to who you should take and who you shouldn't take.
You want to know who Mel is? That's who Mel Kiper Jr. is right there, the GOAT of NFL Draft coverage.
Great competitor. He doesn't get his feathers ruffled very easily.
Nice, gets it, and a beautiful throw. He's going to go all the way. Touchdown, Alabama.
Coming to Bama is where you come for pressure.
We are 100 days away from kickoff of the NFL regular season and 331 days away from the 2023 NFL Draft. That didn't stop Mel Kiper Jr. from already getting ahead of the curve as he has released his 2023 big board. Here it is with five quarterbacks in the top 25, including two within the first three picks. And of course, it is always an honor to have our guy, Mel Kiper Jr., join us here on NFL Live. And Mel, let's start with the top of your big board. And interestingly, there is a non-quarterback at the very top of the list.
Yeah, I didn't need to consult with Swaggoo or Lewis on this one. I've been waiting and waiting and waiting to put Will Anderson Jr. at the top of the board. He would have been number one back about a month ago had he been in the draft a month ago. He's a great football player. What's it not to like, guys, about Will Anderson Jr.? When you watch this kid play, just a dynamic, explosive pass rusher. You think about against the run. Well, is he just a guy who gets after the quarterback? No, he's not. So many impact plays against the run, and a guy who gives you great character. Nick Saban's got to believe, after all is said and done with Nick's career, and he looks back on who's his favorite player, you got to believe Will Anderson Jr. is going to be at or near number one on that list. What a great football player. And to put anybody else number one would have been ridiculous. Barring any injury, he's going to end up number one. And do you think the quarterback, instead of the pass rush, if you need him, it's going to be a battle. It's going to be between C.J. Stroud, Ohio State, and this kid, Bryce Young. Bryce Young isn't as physically gifted as Stroud. Admit 6 foot, 195, but he's got a quick release. He sees the field. He can move when he has to and run when he has to. Bryce Young, just slightly, if you don't say they're even going in, I just gave that slight edge at number two to Bryce Young. He's got Jermaine Burton coming from Georgia. He's got a kid like Tyler Harrell coming from Louisville. Jameer Gibbs coming from Georgia Tech as a running back. So a lot of got new guys coming in on offense around the quarterback. C.J. Stroud has a great go-to option in Jackson Smith and Jigba, and he has a great running back in Henderson, and Paris Johnson Jr. will move to left tackle, and he'll do a great job. And C.J. Stroud down the stretch, guys, was on fire. Touchdown passes, very few interceptions, completion percentage through the roof. He should be even improved over last year, and if he is, what a battle it will be, guys, to see when we get to late April 2023. Is it C.J. Stroud? Is it Bryce Young? Does one of the other quarterbacks like Will Levis, Kentucky, or a guy like Tyler Van Dyke, Miami, or Anthony Richardson, Florida, get into the mix? It's going to be the year of the quarterbacks. It's going to be fun to watch these guys.
Yeah, quite a contrast from 2022, but Mel, always so good to have you on with us here on NFL Live. You're going to stick around for a little while as we have a little more to discuss on a quarterback that went this past year. He was the only quarterback, as a matter of fact, in the first round. And you know it's early in the offseason because Kenny Pickett, again, was drafted 20th overall this past year, is currently the Steelers' third-string quarterback, at least according to the OTA's depth chart. Here's what he had to say about working with that third-team group.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't think I was going to walk in and be the one, right? I mean, so it's kind of what I was expecting, and come in here and just earn everything I get. I mean, it's just kind of how it goes in life and the game, so I'm excited to be here.
All right, so there you have it. Kenny Pickett is apparently the third-string quarterback for right now. Swaggo, start with you. I mean, is there any way that Kenny Pickett is anywhere near the third-string quarterback on this roster once the regular season begins?
No, I don't think he'll be anywhere near the third string. He could be backing up, though. Mitchell Trubisky is going to get a real shot at this job. And Pittsburgh understands. Look, Matt Canada, this offensive coordinator, has a lot to prove. But one thing he can use is a quarterback's mobility. I think Kenny Pickett eventually, I think Trubisky will eventually give way, whether it's after this season or more down the road towards the end of the season. But right now, I look at this quarterback situation in Pittsburgh as a good thing. Mike Tomlin has two guys that are willing to compete. Kenny Pickett maturity even showed in that response with being the third team guy right now. And that's a part of what you want as well. We get so enamored with the physical ability, the attributes of these guys and what they can do. That position alone, you have to have a level of maturity as well, especially being a young guy with a franchise and an organization like this. And he understands that all too well with being around him for so long. So I think it's a good situation that Pittsburgh is in, but Trubisky, to me, will be the starter when the season starts.
I agree, Marcus. I think you look at this division. We know about how tough it is. We look at that schedule. That's tough as well for the Steelers. And you have Mitchell Trubisky with an offensive line that needs to improve and gel. And you have Mitchell Trubisky in 2018 with those 421 rushing yards, that dual-threat quarterback. Could have even moved on in the playoffs had Parkey made that field goal. So you think about it, he has had success. He's going to be, 28? You think about a quarterback that has the ability to beat you with his legs. Will the passing skills evolve? He had Brian Daboll. He had Ken Dorsey. He had Josh Allen to watch. So he had coaches, and he had the quarterback to watch the great Josh Allen go about his business. That's got to help Mitchell Trubisky. Kenny Pickett's going to be 24 next week. At some point this year, he probably will start a game or two. But I think Mitchell Trubisky wins this job. How long he keeps it with this schedule, guys, that's difficult to predict. Kenny Pickett maybe isn't by game 6 or 7 if they're not winning football games, because that schedule, guys, is very difficult.
Yeah, look, Pittsburgh has the luxury of time. I mean, they played this perfectly as far as how they have the quarterback room set up. So it's set up for Mitchell Trubisky to come in, exert his veteran presence, his veteran influence on the quarterback room, really highlight his skill set both from a running and throwing on the move perspective in Matt and Coach Canada's offense, and come out of the gate number one. But make no mistake, you don't draft quarterbacks in the first round for them to be backups and just say, hey, yeah, this guy's a nice insurance policy that we took 20th overall. You draft them because you see the future in them. And there's no mistaking that of all the quarterbacks on this roster, Kenny Pickett is the best natural passer of the football by far of any of the quarterbacks on this roster. But as we all know, throwing the football is just a small part of it in the NFL. There's a lot more that goes into playing quarterback, and he won't be ready when the regular season starts, and it would be foolish to put him out there. So this is set up perfectly for him to grow, learn, develop behind Mitchell, and then at some point in time, it'll be his time for sure. He's the future.
Kenny Pickett's time will come. We shall see exactly when that is in Pittsburgh. Tragic news to share from yesterday is Cardinals cornerback Jeff Gladney was killed in a car accident early Monday morning. He was just 25. Gladney was the standout at TCU before being drafted in the first round by the Vikings in 2020. He was signed by the Cardinals in March. The team issued a statement saying, quote, "We are devastated to learn of Jeff Gladney's passing. Our hearts go out to his family, friends, and all who are mourning this tremendous loss."
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
The NBA Finals start Thursday night at 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific on ABC and ESPN Radio with Jason Tatum and the Celtics taking on Steph Curry and the Warriors. Our Game 1 coverage tips with NBA Countdown at 8:30 Eastern. Can't wait. Time now for a little game of Read and React, where we start in Dallas with quarterback Dak Prescott saying that he believes the team is better now than it was at the end of last season.
We know what we have in this locker room, and we know what we can be. Talent is one thing, but if you don't fulfill it, it doesn't really mean anything. So just from the names and stuff like that, we've got young players that just haven't had a chance to make a name for themselves. So excited for those guys to be able to do that and for them to prove people wrong. I know what this team has and the men that they have and the coaches and the leadership. And, we definitely didn't take a step back. We're going to continue to get better, and that's what this offseason is about.
All right, Marcus, I'm asking you to keep it 100 as you always do. The Cowboys right now are better or worse than they were at the end of last year?
Worse, and it's because of unknowns. Listen, they drafted Tyler Smith. They're high on him. All of the reports that I'm getting that they like what they see out of him. Terrence Steele going over the right tackle with the departure of Lyle Collins, going to the Cincinnati Bengals. And at left tackle, the most important position in football outside of quarterback and pass rusher, Tyron Smith, has not played a full season in years, babyface. I'm concerned as hell. I'm not worried about the skill position players. I'm not worried about Dak Prescott. But no O-line, no good football. That's all it boils down to. So we shall see. But I'm concerned, and I think they have taken a step back until I see these guys play in these significant roles that they're in now.
Yeah, look, I'm with you. And as far as we just don't know, and Dak Prescott just alluded to that. He just said, look, they just haven't had a chance yet. But look, their first three draft picks this year are really going to tell the tale for just how this team looks once the season really winds down. Look, Tyler Smith, he's going to have to develop at left guard. He just does. Sam Williams is probably the key, though, for me, as far as all of these draft picks, because he's replacing Randy Gregory, who, for all intents and purposes, was probably the hardest playing individual on this entire team. for him to leave and go to Denver is huge. Jalen Tolbert, the wide receiver, the third rounder out of South Alabama. Look, he has to be a guy who Dak trusts at some point in time during this season. Because CD, look, ask Juju Smith-Schuster what it's like going from number one to number two as far as the wide receiver option. What it's like to not have a guy to take some of the pressure off of you. He's going to get all that pressure now. So really now, Michael Gallup, you got to come back healthy, man. Jalen Tolbert, you have to step up. But Sam Williams, that name, that pass rusher, that young player, to me, is the catalyst for all this, just like Micah Parsons was last year.
All right, guys, mentioned Tyron's back issues. Those are lingering. That concerns me. Obviously, no Amari Cooper. We said no Randy Gregory, no Lyle Collins. They're missing a lot of pieces. But here's where I think Dak Prescott is taking a step forward. He's trying to make up for all this loss, right? Something as simple as moving his locker next to CeeDee Lamb. It sounds kind of elementary when you hear that. But that's him trying to connect, trying to raise the level of what this offense has to be, because they know they do have some holes here. So I think this is the kind of season where Dak Prescott not only needs to just perform on the field, but he needs to be the best version of himself as a leader to make up for the things that they don't have.
And Diana, your last point is the most important point. Listen, Dak Prescott still has some things that he needs to get sorted and improve. In certain situations and games as well. Now, we'll go through layers of whose fault it is before we get to Dak Prescott, because last year you could point a lot of the finger at the coaching staff and the decision-making of Mike McCarthy. But ultimately, the expectation now is for Dak to overcome some of those things. So he's under a microscope as well. But ultimately, when you look at this football team in totality, if I have questions about your offensive line, that's not good until you prove me wrong. I don't care how good your quarterback is. I don't care how good your running back is or your defense. If you can't block them, you can't win football games in this league. And we will find out really quick if Dallas is better or worse at that position group.
Yeah, this is the last thing I'll say about this, about who's going to be under the most pressure on this football team. It's the coaching staff. It's the head coach. Because we know that coaching matters. We know that clock management matters. We know that situational mastery matters. When to go for it on fourth down matters. Play selection down on the goal line and red zone in 2-minute situations. These are all the things that ultimately Mike McCarthy is going to be judged on. And we all know how their season ended last year. We all know what it looked like when they're trying to run down there and spike the football, don't we? And we all know whose head that fell on and how many hours we devoted to talking about it. That's the guy who probably is under more pressure than anyone, and he will determine the fortunes of this football team more than anyone in 2022.
It's a great point, Lewis. We don't have to talk about hot seats, so to speak, for head coaches in the last day of May before the season begins, but perhaps Mike McCarthy is under more pressure than any other head coach in the NFL this season. Hey, coming up on NFL Live, we're still not done. We're going to take a hard look at the Minnesota Vikings. Could this be the year they win their first division title since 2017? Marcus tells us how the Vikings could, and I stress, could, overhit the Packers. That's next on NFL Live. We'll have game one of the Eastern Conference Finals for you tomorrow on ESPN and the app. The resilient Rangers host the Lightning. Their coverage begins at 8 Eastern, 5 Pacific from Madison Square Garden. All right, so the Vikings continue their on-field work today during OTAs. They continue to learn the ropes of new head coach Kevin O'Connell's offense. So far, so good, that according to quarterback Kirk Cousins. Vikings are one of 20 teams in OTAs today, and new coach Kevin O'Connell has started his offseason program with his new team and the offense. They've been really singing the praises again. Here's what Kirk Cousins had to say about the new-look offense under the first-time head coach.
I'd much rather be in a place now where, yes, I'm learning a new system, but I know what Justin Jefferson can do. I know what Irv Smith can do. I know what Brian O'Neill can do. I know what Dalvin can do. And so that's kind of fun because you feel like we're all learning this together, but we've also played some meaningful snaps together too. Well, that's kind of a comforting thing when you're out there and you're thinking through the plays and the rules and you're not sure about this or that. But you know, hey, I may not be sure, but I got Dalvin Cook standing next to me. I'm pretty sure about him. So, that is comforting.
One of Cousins' top targets is, of course, Adam Thielen. He had this to say about Kevin O'Connell's impact on the Vikings. Quote, when you get on the field and you start running through stuff, you're like, man, this is fun. This is exciting. You're talking about a breath of fresh air and kind of rejuvenation. It's because when you get out here,
It's like stuff makes sense, and it's exciting. So, Diana, I'll ask you this. Can the Vikings challenge the Green Bay Packers in the NFC North this year?
I think so. Look,
ooh.
I'm never going to bet against Aaron Rodgers. Let me restart that field.
Okay.
It's very difficult to say that Aaron Rodgers is going to lose the division to the Minnesota Vikings. But putting that aside, let's just put that aside for a second. When you look at this roster top to bottom, you look at the changes, okay? So, look, a first-year new head coach is always going to give you that automatic surge. There is certainly a very different vibe coming out of Minnesota in just a few weeks. Just remember, Kevin O'Connell was hired right around the combine, right, guys? So that was like the end of February. He didn't have a lot of time to get ingrained and sped up on diving into this Vikings organization. But from everything I can gather, he's done a really good job of basically choreographing, mapping out every single thing that's going down there. And let's not forget, you're going from Mike Zimmer, an old school defensive-minded head coach, to now an offensive-minded head coach who's now calling the plays, who's going to be in the room with Kirk Cousins. There's going to be a change, and perhaps towards the positive side, just knowing that the leadership is starting here from O'Connell.
DR, it's okay. It's okay. Just say it with me. They will challenge the Green Bay Packers. It's okay. It's okay. Just let it out. I know it's blasphemous to say. I know this division and how it's played out, but it's okay because they should.
I can't do it, Marcus.
I'm with you. I got Green Bay still winning the division, but we've had this conversation long before about the Minnesota Vikings and the talent that they've had available to them and playing Jekyll and Hyde and not being consistent, not showing like looking like a really good team, a contender at 1 week or for a 3 week span and then falling off of a cliff. The Kevin O'Connell coming in, obviously, like you said, will give this offense a surge. But that's not where my questions lie. My questions lie on the other side of the ball. Because the one thing I know about the Green Bay Packers, they will have a really good defense that they've continued to add to and revamp with getting Jaire Alexander re-signed and re-signing a lot of these guys that were impact players for them. We know Aaron Rodgers is the quarterback, but the Minnesota Vikings should feel like they're squarely in contention for this division. Be careful about the Detroit Lions as well. This division is getting a little better, but that's no excuse for the Minnesota Vikings not to challenge and have an opportunity to win this division against Aaron Rodgers-led Green Bay team. They have to do this now. They have to get it going. Time is ticking, and it's not a better time than now for the Minnesota Vikings finally to find some consistency and play at a high level and try to win this division.
Yeah, it ain't a good time. Right now ain't the time. I'm going to tell you why. I'm going to tell you why. Because, look, his name is Aaron Rodgers. They have the best offensive line in the division by far, and they just drafted a couple studs, namely the fourth rounder, Zach Tom, out of Wake Forest. Well, I don't know how he lasted to the fourth round, but that's neither here nor there. They still have this guy named Aaron Jones. They still have this guy named A.J. Dillon. They still, on the defensive side, they drafted Devontae Wyatt and Quay Walker. We remember those two guys from Georgia? Remember during the draft, we're talking about Devontae Wyatt, Quay Walker, Georgia, the best defense to ever walk the face of the earth. Okay, got Jaire Alexander still. Joe Barry comes back. And they don't have to, learn the offense together or learn the new system together. They don't need a surge from their new head coach. They know exactly where to go as soon as they hit the field. They're hitting the field running, and they're going. The Packers, I'll tell you what. If I'm a Packer fan, I'm going, you better not lose this division. You better not lose this division to Kirk Cousins and a new coaching staff. I can tell you that.
All right, but Lou, Devontae Adams isn't there anymore. So I'll say that, and we talk about this coaching staff. This Minnesota coaching staff, they are winners. They just won it all. This entire staff, everyone that's on this coaching staff has come from a place that has won a Super Bowl. So they're just bringing that to Minnesota. There may be a little bit of learning curve. I get that. But these guys know how to win, and they know how to win big. They haven't won big in Green Bay.
Well, they have won a lot of regular season.
Yeah, but you know what? None of those guys.
None of those guys are suiting up.
We're going to move forward here to one more thing, because we do have time for one more thing, which is to say happy birthday to Joe Namath, who turned 79 years young today. He is, of course, the man responsible for the most memorable guarantee in NFL history. He said the Jets were going to win Super Bowl III against the Colts, and they did. Happy birthday, Broadway Joe. Here's what I can guarantee. We'll be back tomorrow with more.
The time ain't now. Lou said the time ain't now.